Hallelujah. So good to be in God's house today. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 21? Numbers, chapter 21. We're going to begin reading at verse 4. And also, if you want to, you can turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, and I lost my place here. I had all my scripture references memorized. Oh, I'm in 28. That's why I'm not finding it. Okay. Second Chronicles 29 and verse 6. I went into one of those preacheristic panics there where you think you have your text memorized and everything. And I was looking at verse 28 and I'm like, what I'm looking for ain't there. Lord, help me. Help me quick. Okay. Numbers 21, beginning at verse 4. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? And they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. That was speaking of the manna, which God supernaturally provided every morning. And the Lord, I want you to notice that. The Bible says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the cross of Christ and the cross of man. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I sense this morning the urgency of your Holy Spirit to deliver this message that I believe you've placed in my heart. And Lord, I ask for you to help me to preach it as only the Holy Spirit is able to preach it, Lord. For we're nothing without him. And Lord, I sense already a mighty move of your Holy Ghost over this congregation. Lord, we're living in the last days. Satan is out to destroy and to hinder this great message of Christ and him crucified. But Lord, he cannot do it because you're raising up a standard and you're raising up an army of people that are going to be loyal to you more so than any man or any ministry. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for whatever you do this day. And Lord Jesus, help me to preach it boldly. Help me to preach it clearly. And I pray you'll make it a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Over the last 30 years or so, the church has clearly been inundated with errant teaching. We've come through all kinds of crazy doctrines and crazy schemes of man. And all of it at the heart has been really to enrich the perpetrators of the doctrines and the schemes that they have devised. About the turn of the century, Rick Warren, of course, came out with this purpose-driven mess. And I know I've preached a lot on that, but it's such a perfect illustration for what I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to bring this morning. The church world went crazy after the writings of this man and after that program, 40 Days of Purpose. I remember one time when I was down in Baton Rouge at camp meeting, I jokingly asked Brother Lauren Larson after he had taught on the errant doctrine of that program. I said, Lauren, you know what I've always wondered? What do you do on day 41? Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. You know, if you're supposed to be totally transformed in 40 days, and at the end of the 40 days, what do you do then? Because that's why the program was no longer in existence. People found out on day 41 they were just as bad off as they were on day one. And if that program did work, and it was of God, why is it still not ongoing? I'll tell you why. Because it was perpetrated by man. It was a man-made program. And I don't know why, sometimes I think about it, why the church can't get its mind around the fact that every answer from God is in this book. And God's got a plan that'll work on day one and day 2001. And every day of our life, it's Christ and Him crucified. And every false teaching and every program that has tried to supplant and get people to put their faith in something other than the cross of Christ has been an attempt, really, from the pit of hell. And I don't back down from saying that. Inspired by demon spirits to pull people away from the only thing that can help mankind, and that's Jesus Christ and what He did on that cross. So all the attacks in one form or another have come on the cross. And they have been, I believe, for the most part, to the discerning biblical eye, very clear in what they were trying to do. And that these programs had one thing in common. Each and every one of them left out the cross of Christ. That's the one common denominator that run through everything. But now, church, we're living in the last of the last days. And when Satan has failed at trying to put something in place of the cross, I saw a plan that has been perpetrated in hell and is no doubt being promoted by demon spirits that has just come out this week. And that is this. Preach a man-made cross. Preach a man-made cross. Now, buckle your seatbelts, for some of you it may get ugly here in a moment. I sat and watched Rod Parsley from Columbus, Ohio this week. On his TV show, he said he was going to start to preach the cross. And what was he doing? He had erected a beautiful golden cross in his studio and had people standing around it praying. And the verbiage that he was using, if you didn't listen to him for very long, it would be like listening to Brother Swaggart, Brother Lauren Larson, or even myself preach about how glorious the cross is. But here's the difference. Rod was leading you to his cross. He was trying to get people to send him their names, and he would send them a chip of wood. He would then take it and nail it to the cross he had erected in his studio. And that, in essence, He didn't say this directly, but the implication was, this will get your prayers answered, and this is what will bring you victory. And I thought, how insidious of Satan, when everything else has failed him, to try to use a corrupted man-made cross to take the place of the cross of Jesus Christ. Church, we're living in the last days. Satan hates this message that we're preaching. There may not be a lot of us here this morning, but that really don't matter. I'd rather walk in truth with the few than walk in error with the tens of millions. I want the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, I got to give you something good that Ravonna, I said, Ravonna, I should let you preach this morning. We're stuck out there in traffic on 41, and I told her what I was going to be addressing today. And she watched the programs with me. She said, you know something, honey? She said, his little old cross, with the response he's going to get, he's bound to run out of room on it. You can't get that many things on the little cross of Rod Parsley. But she said, honey, there's always room at the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why we need to shout. God's called us to proclaim the cross of Jesus Christ. There's no help on Rod Parsley's cross. Rod Parsley didn't die for no one. Rod Parsley has no power. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has all power. Hallelujah. And His cross, the cross of Christ, will do and perform what Jesus did on that cross in you and I. Praise God. Praise God. You're going to hear this more and more because they're going to try and use the cross now as a gimmick. They're all in financial trouble now because their plans and programs have failed them. And I have no doubt in my mind that they've been tuning in to Sun Life Broadcasting Network because of the verbiage that they're using. And you don't have to watch him very long at all, Mr. Parsley, to sense that it's a demon spirit that's driving him to do this. I don't back down one iota from it. It is a demon spirit that is driving this man to do this. Why? Because he's leading you to his cross and leading you to put faith in his cross. And his cross has no power. His cross has no power. All he wants is people's names on a mailing list so he can solicit them for money. Don't be deceived. That's what's behind it all. That's why he wants these names and telling people he's going to send them a wood chip and you send back your request to him. It builds a mailing list where he can solicit for money. And that's what it's all about. In one sense, while that's so disheartening, in another, it made my heart rejoice. And then I thought, Lord, we must be so close to your coming. Because Satan is pulling out all the stops. He's even now going to try to use the cross as a gimmick. How devilishly brilliant that is. To use the cross as a man-made cross as a gimmick to get people to put their faith in it using the same terminology that the Apostle Paul in his Bible uses. And no doubt, I'm just waiting for it to happen. Somebody to come and say, well, you know, Rod Parsley's preaching the cross now. No, he's not. He's preaching the cross of Rod Parsley. He's not preaching the cross of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. A cross in and of itself has no power whatsoever. It's when we preach the cross and we mention the cross, we're not talking about two wooden sticks. That has no power in it at all. It's what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, performed on that cross. It's what's so powerful. Amen. You see, Israel, in the text we read from this morning, they had sinned against God. And that they had complained against God's provision. Now, that's most of the church world. Why? Most of the church world doesn't like the cross. They don't like hearing about it in any capacity. Because you think, why is that, Pastor? That sounds strange. Because to come to the cross, it means that we must totally abrogate ourselves before God. That we must approach that cross and say, Lord, we have no power to change our lives. We are totally and completely helpless, except you come into our hearts by grace and fill us with your Holy Spirit, and you make changes in our lives. That's why there's no help in psychology. That's why there's no help in a man-made program. They have no power of the Holy Ghost in them. That's why there's no help in the cross of Rod Parsley. It has no power of the Holy Ghost in it. But the power of the cross of Jesus Christ will deliver the Holy Ghost into the hearts and lives of men and women, and things will change then. Hallelujah. You see, Israel was complaining against God's provision, that manna, which was provided by God every morning to sustain them. Even that manna itself was a type of the cross. How is that? The Bible says that the manna was like coriander seed. And some time back I did a research on what coriander seed was. It's the tiniest of seeds. But when you split that coriander seed in two and look at it under a microscope, you see a perfect red cross. God was telling them, you are to consume the cross, spiritually speaking, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And God was supernaturally providing for them every morning this manna. They didn't want it. They complained against it. They said, we're tired of this. Did you lead us out here to die, Moses, into this desert? Did this God that you're speaking to lead us out here into this desert to die? And something the church needs to know, nothing angers God more than the rejection or the complaining against the cross of his son, Jesus Christ. That angers God. We don't often think God's such a God of grace and mercy. We also forget he's also a God of great judgment and anger. And when the cross of Christ and his atoning work on that cross is rejected and mocked and made fun of, as some people call it, past miseries in the Word of Faith movement, God is angered at that. God's anger burns hot against that. God's judgment burns hot against that. Just like it did Israel here as they were by the Mount Hor. And when they complained against God, God said, if you're rejecting my provision, and you're complaining about what I have provided to sustain you and to keep you, I'm going to judge you for it. That's why the Bible says, and the Lord, not the devil, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among them. Now, these serpents were called fiery because they were the desert adders. They're red in color. And when they bite a person, their venom is such as that it causes the depletion and the complete, not absorption, but it causes all body fluids to dehydrate. I mean, it just eats all the fluid in the human body. And their mouths would burn with thirst. That's a perfect picture of somebody who rejects the cross of Christ, because when you reject the cross of Christ as the exclusive way to live for God, you've just placed yourself in a sinful condition. I want you to think of that for a moment. You can talk about Jesus all day long. You can talk about what he did on the cross all day long. But unless that cross is fully and exclusively accepted, and his work on that cross, not the two wooden sticks, it's what he did there, you're in a state of sin, because only the blood of Jesus can cleanse from sin. With faith being placed in any other object for a right standing with God, that person is still in their sin. I don't care how many times you go to church. I don't care if you're a Sunday school teacher, a preacher, a pastor, whoever you are. If your faith is not in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you're in sin. You're either in Christ or you're in sin. There is no middle ground. And when Israel rejected God's provision, they were in essence rejecting the cross, and God judged them for that. Sending these fiery serpents that would bite them and cause this gut-wrenching thirst. Only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus. He's the only one who can fill this human heart, soul, and spirit. I'm here to tell you, I've had most of what that world told me would fill it, and it didn't. It left me thirsty. It left me dying. But when I found Jesus, I found the living water, Bill. I found the living water. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Glory to God. And that bite of sin is upon most who fill church pews this morning. That bite of sin is on most pastors who are attempting to preach this word today, because they have rejected the cross of Jesus Christ and his atoning work thereon. And people are dying because of it. The Bible tells us that a number, I think there were so many actually, in the commentaries I've read, that they couldn't even number how many died. That's what sin does. There's only life in Jesus Christ. There is only true life in Jesus Christ. Everything else leads to death. Everything else. It may give pleasure for a while, but ultimately it will leave you thirsty and dying, spiritually speaking. And now, as Israel realizes, we're dying. We're dying. And more of us are going to die. We can't make these serpents go away. Man cannot drive out sin through his own power. Man can't get rid of it. Only the blood of Jesus can. And in the midst of this debacle, this debaucherous situation, that the entire nation of Israel is in. These snakes everywhere biting people. People dying by the tens of thousands every day. Finally, they realize we've turned from God. That's our problem. We've made our own way. We've tried to formulate our own way. We've turned away from God's way. And in a beautiful example of the grace and mercy of God, I want you to listen to me right now. Somebody needs to hear this morning. As Israel had willfully and knowingly rebelled and turned from Jehovah God and His plan of salvation and His miraculous provision, they came to Moses. They said, "We've sinned against the Lord and we've sinned against you. I don't care how bad the sinner is or how deep into sin a person may have gone. If you'll come to God with that attitude, you're very, very near being totally restored and finding life again, because God's a God of grace. He doesn't hold our past failures against us. If we'll come to Him with that kind of attitude, 'Lord, every problem I've got now, I'm dying spiritually because I rejected your way, and I'm sorry, will you forgive me?'" When Israel came to Moses and said, "We've sinned against God and against you, Moses. Help us. Help us." The Bible immediately says that God spoke to Moses. He said, "You take a brazen serpent and you put it up on a pole and you hold it up high. And when anybody has been bitten by these desert adders, these fiery serpents, when they see the brazen serpent on the pole, if they'll look to it, they'll live. I'll heal them." Jesus said in John 3:17 that just as Moses lifted up the serpent of brass, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. God's answer to sin has always been the cross. This brazen serpent was a type of the cross. It was not the cross of Jesus Christ, but it was a stopgap measure and a beautiful Old Testament example of what Christ would one day do on the cross. And that when mankind looks to the cross of Jesus Christ exclusively and what He did on that cross, he finds life. He finds healing from sin. He finds deliverance from sin. My Lord, He finds life. He finds joy. He finds peace. Glory to God. There's nothing like what I'm preaching this morning. Man can't produce what I'm preaching this morning. But Jesus Christ can change hearts and lives. And He does it via His atoning work on the cross. That's the only way. And when they looked to that brazen serpent, they were instantly healed of the snake bites of the desert adders. And their bodies came to normal again. Every fluid in that body being brought to its right proportions again. Think of that. That's a beautiful example of what happens in the spirit when a person gives their heart and life to Jesus Christ and places their faith and trust exclusively in His atoning work on that cross. They're healed totally. Every sin is gone. Glory to God. Every sin is gone. And they stand righteous and holy before God. Delivered from sin's power. Delivered from the snare of sin. That's the only power that can produce what I'm preaching this morning, is Jesus Christ. Hence, Satan wants to corrupt that. The Bible says that the thief comes for naught but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Satan knows he cannot touch a person who has their faith in Jesus Christ and His atoning work on the cross. They're in Christ. They're in Christ. God literally takes the repentant sinner and puts them spiritually in Jesus Christ. To where when God looks at you, He doesn't see us no more. He sees the righteousness and the glory of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So Satan knows if he is to keep mankind ensnared, he must corrupt that faith some way. That's placed in Christ and what He did at the cross. This brazen serpent that Moses made, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. There was no power in it whatsoever. It was in the command of God to look to the object of faith that he had chosen. That's where the power was. If he had told Moses to put a squirrel on a pole and have Israel look to that, they'd have still been healed. Because they were looking to what God said to look to. But there was no power in that object. Let me tell you something. We read in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 6. When King Hezekiah was coming to power, and he was a godly king, the first thing he did was he began to tear down the high places where Israel had turned their back on God, and they had begun to worship all of these false deities of the nations around them. But watch this. He found something else in the archives of the Israeli temple. Israel had begun to worship this serpent of brass that Moses had made. They still had it. And they had begun to worship the serpent of brass that God told be made. They would even walk around and hiss to it, thinking that would gain them status with God. They would stand before this brazen serpent on a pole and thinking that would gain them spiritual power. Now watch this. This was an instrument that God had commanded to be created, though. And finally, we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, where Hezekiah broke into pieces this brazen serpent. Because he knew there was no power in the serpent. Watch this. That's what the powers of darkness are going to start to attempt to do with the cross of Jesus Christ. They're going to create crosses of their own fashion. Watch it. It's going to happen. I've heard from heaven. I know it. They're going to try to use the cross as a gimmick now to satisfy their own evil desires and their own personal lusts. Because like Simon the Sorcerer in the book of Acts, they've been watching Sun Life Broadcasting. And they've been seeing all that money flow into Sun Life Broadcasting. And I'm here to tell you, Sun Life Broadcasting is of God. They're not selling wood chips on there. Now, I feel I've got to stop here and clarify some things. I'm trying to educate you because I know what's coming down the pike. I know what out there in the world and a backslidden church is going to start to do. So I'm trying to prepare this church for it. The Lord told me to try and prepare the church. Only He can do it. I can't, but I'm just His mouthpiece. They're going to try to make a gimmick of the cross. But here's the difference. I've heard people say, people close to me that I love very much, when I pointed out the false doctrines of their favorite preachers. And it's pandemic out there, false doctrine is. And I believe some of it, not all of it, but some of it is led by very well-meaning men who are trying their best to help people out. A few years back, you had Perry Stone telling everybody, take communion, the meal that heals. Take communion every day and you'll be healthy, wealthy, and walk in God's favor. Communion is ordained of God. Do you follow me on that? But communion is just an act of remembering the death of Christ on the cross and that examining ourselves to make sure our faith is in that. There's no power in the actual act of taking communion, even though it's God ordained. Perry made the same mistake that Israel was making under King Hezekiah. He's worshiping the symbol. Worshiping the symbol. Now, as you watch Sun Life Broadcasting, you'll see Brother Swaggart on there. He'll be selling Bibles. He'll be selling tapes and CDs or making offers of that. But everything he's selling or everything offer he makes is something that's going to minister to you. But watch this. Watch closely. There's no promise attached to it of health and wealth and divine favor if you buy it. Are you following me on this morning? Whereas you tune in somebody like Rod Parsley, he's telling you, you have to send it for it to be placed on my cross. Send your request to be placed on my cross. Send your money to me because my cross is what's going to help you out. There's the difference right there. There's nothing wrong with raising funds for ministry. It should be done. It has to be done. And there's great blessing in it when you give to a ministry that's preaching the gospel. But Satan is trying to make the line so close between truth and error now by using the cross to do it. Buckle your seatbelt. I believe you're literally seeing a man influenced and possibly possessed by demon spirits that would try to use the cross of Christ to gain money and enrich himself. We're living in the last days, church. We need to open our spiritual eyes and know that as much as we preach the cross in this church, we do not worship two wooden sticks. It's what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And if the world isn't careful, or if the church isn't careful, I should say, these charlatans are going to lead them into worshiping the symbol. The symbol. The cross. The two wooden sticks. Let me tell you, crosses lined the Roman countryside in the days of Jesus. There were millions of them. There is no, possibly, I don't know, I've read accounts as much as maybe 5 to 6 million people died on Roman crosses. That Roman cross in and of itself means not one thing. But when the sinless, spotless Lamb of God took that cross on his back wearing a crown of thorns and went up Calvary's Hill, what made that cross different was who was on that cross. Because that man had never sinned. He was perfect in every way. He was the Son of God who willingly, as an act of love that Michelle and the choir sang about this morning, as an act of love, because he had all power in his hands. He could have stopped that at any time. But he loved you and I. That's the cross I want to make sure I worship. And not the cross itself, but who was on that cross is who I want to worship. I don't want to worship the cross. I want to worship who was on that cross. Because he was the one who purchased my redemption. It's his blood that cleanses me from all sin and makes me right with God. And you watch, there's going to be a mammoth effort from the pit of hell to produce a cross of man. How insidious. I thought, how deviously intelligent of the enemy to try to blur the lines, because this message is going out now. Glory to God, 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year over Sun Life Broadcasting Network. Praise God, they won't let nobody on there who's not preaching the cross. It's going forth. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the answer to everything. Hallelujah. And we're a part of that. Aren't you glad to know? There may not be many of us, but glory to God, we're walking in the right way. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God in His grace and mercy selected every one of us, I don't know why, to be enlightened to this truth. Sister Nellie Ramey back there, who just started coming here last week, I was talking with her last week after service. She said, I've been looking for a church that preaches the cross. And I said, Nellie, you're home. I said, that's all you get here. That's all we want. And by preaching the cross again, I'm not referring to two wooden sticks. There's no power in that at all. But that's where Satan's going to try to lead people to. And you're going to hear more and more about it. As more and more ministers, false ministers, are going to jump on this bandwagon because they're seeing what's happening on Sunlight Broadcasting. And they're like Simon the Sorcerer. Let me buy this for my ministry because I'm hurting now. It's no secret at all that Rod Parsley's been hurting for money for the last year. He's been about to go bankrupt. And I would encourage you, after listening to this message that I preached to you this morning, tune him in if you can stand it. I can't stand to listen to him more than about 5 or 10 minutes. But if you can stand it, tune it in as an act of research and see what he's laying down right now about the cross of Christ. Has this big gold cross erected in back of him. Has all of his, he said, his most intimate prayer warriors lined around it. And they're all there going like this. And people walking by and sticking the little wooden chips on it with prayer requests. That's the most vile form of evil I believe I've ever seen. If you want to talk about real bad pornography, that's pornography right there. Of the worst kind, of the worst kind. It's worse than any other kind of pornography because it makes a mockery of what the Son of God did on that cross. And Rod's standing there with great swelling words. And as the Word says in 2 Peter, I believe it's chapter 2, verse 3, in the last days many false teachers are going to arise. And with feigned words, they will make merchandise of the believers. How is that done? With feigned words. The idea is, if you look at the Scripture, they're saying the right things, but they're saying it for the wrong reason. There's another spirit behind it. It's a spirit to gain things for self, not to advance the message of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to watch Rod very long before you'll pick up on that. That he's exclusively trying to lead you to him and his cross for your deliverance, for your healing. Interspersed with some very true Christian doctrine. That's dangerous, church. I mean, when a nut like Ken Copeland stands up and says that, you know, Jesus became sin on the cross, you can pretty much discount that as, yeah, he teaches that. Him, Joyce Meyer, all the Word of Faith teachers, they teach. And they use this very scripture that we've read this morning. Well, wasn't it a serpent Moses held up in the wilderness? Yes, it was. But again, that meant nothing in and of itself. If Jesus became sin on the cross, then who redeemed him? Who redeemed Jesus if he became a sinner? There is no redemption for any of us if Jesus became a sinner. So you can quickly discount that foolishness when you hear it. But when they start using words like there's power in the blood, put your faith in what Christ did for you at the cross. But then there's that addendum. Look at my cross, the one I've got behind me. And if you'll send me your prayer requests, God's spoken to me that he's going to release his power through this. It's idolatry. It's exactly what Israel was doing under King Hezekiah. They had begun to worship a symbol that was God ordained, but that's all it was a symbol. There was no power in the symbol. There was power in what the symbol represented. Albeit, sure, this serpent that Moses held up, it was a type only of what the real Son of God would do one day on the cross. There was no power in that serpent. But God said, you look to it and you'll live. In the New Testament, he says, look to Jesus Christ and you'll live. Look to Jesus Christ alone. Only Jesus Christ can stop the bite of sin that's on every human being. Oh, Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this service today. Church, tell them, don't back down. If they come to you and tell you, oh, Brother so-and-so is preaching the cross, tell them it's too important not to. Be nice about it, but let them know, no, he really is not. And let me tell you why. Hopefully you'll be able to enunciate why. Because the cross in and of itself, the two wooden sticks, the patibulum and the gibbet, they were called the two pieces of the cross. There was no power at all in them. None whatsoever. It was in the Son of God who hung on that cross. And I want him. I don't want some whacked out televangelist cross who's just trying to raise money and get a mailing list so he can solicit people for money. If you'll come to the cross of Jesus Christ like Israel did, when they realized we've sinned, we've turned our back on God, and you'll come to the cross of Christ, his answer is still the same. I'll give you forgiveness. I'll give you life. But in me is the only way to get it. Rick Warren can't help you. Rod Parsley can't help you. Greg Browning can't help you. Jimmy Swaggart can't help you. As much as I love and appreciate his ministry, it's Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. Look to that and live. Look to that and live. I want the cross of Christ. I don't want the cross of man. But prepare yourselves in these last days. There's going to be a cross of man erected. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, is going to make it plain to everybody, which cross do you want? God will give you what you ask him for. If you cry out for it enough, he'll give you what you ask for. Israel complained and cried out enough against his system. So in essence, he said, okay, I'll give you your system. And it led to death. The cross of man will always lead to spiritual death. But the cross of Christ will always lead to life eternal. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stand to your feet? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and I so sense the power of your Spirit at this service. And Lord, I know how much you love people. You love everyone so much, you willingly became a substitute for us, taking our sin and our shame and our penalty upon yourself. That day, you carried our cross up Calvary's hill and bore our penalty. Lord, I pray that if any under the sound of my voice today is backslidden or they've turned away from you or maybe turned to another gospel, that your Holy Spirit would reach out today and pull them in and let them know you love them. And Lord, if they'll return, and come back like Israel did and say, we sinned, we rejected your way, O God, forgive us. That, Lord, you'll not turn anyone aside. You'll restore them, you'll forgive them. But I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit will drive it home to every heart today. The problem is sin. The problem with all of us is sin, and the only antidote for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. We behave the way we do and commit sins because we have a sin nature. And it drives us to do things that are self-destructive. It drives us, that sin nature does, to do things that take us away from you, Lord Jesus. But Lord, you want to bring everyone back. And you will today if they'll cry out to you just like Israel did. You've got something for them to look to and live. Jesus Christ and him crucified. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you, I promise you, I'm not going to embarrass you by calling you down front or anything. It's just going to be between you and God right there where you stand. We don't need an emotional display. It's God who does the saving work, not us. Are you right with God? I want that to sink in, that question. Are you right with God today? Be careful how you answer that question because there's only one right answer. If you're saying, well, I'm right with God because I try to come to church every once in a while or I try to pray every once in a while or I try to read my Bible every once in a while, all those are wrong answers. They may be good things to do, but they're wrong answers. The only way to be made right with God is through faith in what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross. That's the only way. Let me ask you again, and perhaps you knew that for years, maybe you strayed from it. I know the Holy Spirit is calling you home this morning to Jesus Christ. Right where you stand with no one looking around, please. I want this to be very personal because we're not trying to embarrass you. And I know I've stood where maybe you've stood before. There's a sense of embarrassment and that admitting, oh, I'm a sinner. But don't be embarrassed because God already knows it. But what he needs from us is that agreement with him. Lord, I am a sinner. I can't save myself and I can't change my life, but I'm coming to you because your word says through Jesus Christ it can be done and it's the only way. That's what this altar call is all about this morning. Let me ask you again. Are you right with God? Is your faith resting exclusively in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for your right standing with God? If not, if you've strayed from that or if you've never put your faith in him, he's calling you this morning. I know it. You know it. With every head bowed and every eye closed right now, then he would say, Pastor, that's me. I need to get right with God, whether you've never known him before or whether you want to come back to him this morning. I'm not right with God right now, but I want to get right. Are there any at all who by uplifted hand would say, that's me? That's me. Any at all? I won't embarrass you, I promise. And Michelle, I'm going to ask you to begin to play softly, and I'm going to ask everyone who will, would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord here today? Fathers, we're coming this morning. I asked your Holy Spirit to anchor us deeper in the cross of Jesus Christ.
Lord, give us discernment. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear only what is the true gospel. And I know the Holy Spirit will do that. Church, we're not here by accident. God's got some great things He's opening up for this body. Mahari's getting ready to enlarge the prison ministry, and we're going to go into the prison more and more frequently and preach the gospel there. Hallelujah. God's beginning to send us new people like He told me He would. He said, I'll call them. They're out there. He said, you just keep believing me. I'll send them. Praise God. And our goal is not to grow a big church here. Our goal is to get this message of Christ and Him crucified to everyone. That's the goal. Praise God. As we stand here this morning, I just believe that this altar service, here's how the Holy Spirit's directing me. I believe He's saying to me for us to ask for an anointing of discernment. And an anointing of wisdom of the Holy Spirit to rest upon us so that we'll be able to tell people the truth about the cross of Jesus Christ. And I know in this church it may sound like such a simple thing, but to those who are about to be inundated out there in the church world and in the secular world with a cross that's man-made, we're going to need to be able to expound to them the difference between the cross of man and the cross of Jesus Christ. Let's ask for that this morning. God wants to use you on your job, in your neighborhood. He's got people in your life right now that this bite of sin is upon them, and their only answer is Christ and Him crucified. And when they come to you, we need to be able to tell them about the cross of Christ and be able to expose the fallacy of the cross of man. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And just, I'm going to pray out loud. You pray in your own way, but I just feel to pray for the entirety of this body this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to You today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're not about growing our own kingdom. We're not about building ourselves up. But Lord, we have been called by a most holy God to declare and proclaim the greatest message this world has or ever will hear, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Lord, the forces of darkness are going to try to misconstrue that message. They're going to try to emulate it. They're going to try to imitate it by submitting the cross of man. Lord, help us. Help this church. Anoint us, Holy Spirit, to minister the cross of Christ. And to be able to show why the cross of man, although it looks very close and sounds very close to the real thing, it falls short. Because it's perpetrated, the preaching of that cross is perpetrated from demon spirits. Help us, Lord Jesus, in this church. And Lord, humble us before You. Lord, cleanse us from all sin in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Renew us today, I pray, Holy Spirit. And I pray every morning, Lord, as Your mercy is renewed, we'll come to the cross of Christ and look to it and know that we'll find life and peace and joy and victory and eternal life there and there alone. We want the cross of Christ. We want the Son of God. We don't want to worship the cross, the two wooden sticks, but we worship the One who hung on that cross, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Anoint us to elucidate that message and to make it plain, Lord. And Lord, I thank You for what You're doing in this body. And we give You, Lord Jesus Christ, all praise, honor, and glory. Amen. And amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't get to it, but when Hezekiah broke that brazen serpent and ground it into pieces, I love the name he called it. He called it Nehushtan. Nehushtan. You know what that means? A worthless piece of copper. He saw it for what it was. That's the cross of man. It's worthless. But the cross of Christ is everything. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's been good to be with you in God's house today. My, what a wonderful move of the Holy Spirit I believe we've been privileged to be in today. Amen. Bill, good to see you back. Nellie, good to have you. And some of you may remember Kevin and Cindy and their family. They worshiped with us sometime back when over at Christ Chapel, and we're glad to have you and your family with us today. God bless you for coming. Well, I'm going to ask Mahari if he would. Oh, Monique, you need to testify, don't you, Monique? Listen to this.
Y'all know I started with a new job, right?
Yep.
We all knew it was going to be Verizon Wireless, right? Well, right after y'all prayed, particularly Ravana, she prayed that the hours would work. On Tuesday, I got a call from another employer that I had interviewed with simultaneously with Verizon, and it was Chase Bank. And when she called, I was startled. You know, you go through a lot of things. I had my speech ready. And she was like, well, I'm calling to offer you. She remembered that job you applied for and interviewed for way back in November? I said, well, I was told that position was filled. And she said, well, the lady couldn't take it, so your name was next on the list, and I'm calling to offer you this position with more, with you know, benefits, this, that, and the other. Beautiful thing is that it's Monday to Friday. No weekends.
Praise God. And more money, huh?
$5,000 more.
Praise God. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand of praise.
Prayer does work.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank
you. When you know what
place faith is. That's it, Monique. That's it. That's it. Praise God. Mahari, would you come dismiss us in prayer this morning? Praise God.